solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ, and I hate when my head's ready to explode at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I was hearing double.
Well, somehow automation here kicked in while the other automation was...
I thought it was a very sophisticated audio technique that you were using.
It's called two computers running at once. How that happened, we'll have to get a special investigative team.
This was the week of the last shuttle launch.
I know. And it was almost delayed. Did you hear the liftoff?
Was almost delayed. Yeah, I was going to go down to that shuttle launch, but, you know, the last time I tried to go down, they kept delay. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to go down to this one. And, wouldn't you know, it went off on time.
Yeah.
So I would have seen it, but it was low cloud cover, I think. So you wouldn't have seen much. It would have been, you wouldn't have seen much of the launch. You'd just been there for all of the launch parties.
is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, that's the whole Cocoa Beach area is a party animal area around launch time.
Yeah.
So there would have been a lot of Cocoa Beach party activity, and maybe a small amount of launch watching.
Mm-hmm.
This week we're going to talk about a man that actually started a company that is probably developing chips for many of the devices that you have in your home. I doubt if you even know the name of the company, but they are one of the major fabless chip manufacturers. And I'm going to highlight them because this is another case of somebody born in another country, gets educated here, and they start a major enterprise in the U.S. because they were allowed to stay.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my bandwagon and my theme, that if we want to keep innovation going, we've got to keep allowing people who are educated in the U.S. in technology to stay in the U.S. and make the visas easier to get. We're going to review some of the fastest growing tech sector jobs for 2011. Kind of gives people an idea of what they should be studying and learning if they want to move up. And Android's got licensing problems. You know, it's really not going to be license free because both Microsoft and Oracle are claiming that some of the code in the Android operating system encroached on their copyrights and trademarks. So we will we'll review that situation. And we've also got a big, big mailbag.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yes, and now it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Mr. Big Voice is right on the money.
Well, you know, he's just back from the beach.
He's probably trying to get a good review this year. Is he up for review soon?
Review? There is around here? You kidding me? We're lucky we're here.
That's right. That's radio for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Dear Dr. Schertz, this is an email from Bridget.
Ooh.
Dear Dr. Schertz, I've been looking for a less expensive... cheap as possible, if you will, way to listen to business radio like Bloomberg Radio. And I found the Radio Shift iPhone application, and it seems to be exactly what I want. Now, this application would link the iPhone to the Radio Time website, which connects to thousands of online radio stations for free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the application costs $29.95. But then I could get Bloomberg and a number of the XM radio stations for free once I paid the $29.95.
Right.
Here's the thing. I don't own a cell phone. So before I run out and purchase an iPhone, I'd be grateful to learn what you think of this application. Does it make sense for me to just buy an iPod Touch instead of an iPhone or an iPad, or what should I do? I don't really need a service plan like AT&T if I get an iPhone because I just want to listen at home. Thanks, Bridget. Well, Bridget, I'm glad that you emailed me because the Radio Shift application for the iPhone has been discontinued.
Well, so I guess this isn't such a good idea for her.
I was actually going to check it out, and I went to the I went here on the iPad and I went to the App Store and I went to Radio Shift, and they said they've discontinued the iPhone application because not enough people bought it.
Really?
Now, you can get the application on a Mac, on a Macintosh. So they're still supporting the Macintosh application, but not the iPhone application. See, I think on the iPhone apps, $29.95 is kind of expensive. Probably no one wanted to spring for that much money. Now, here's the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Sirius XM have an application for the iPod, the iPad, or the iPhone. So you can download the Sirius XM application, and then you can pay for a streaming application to the XM radio. You can listen to all of the shows that you want, the business radio shows you want. And you can also get Howard Stern, which I know is probably a big item for you.
Oh, I'm sure. But I know it is for me.
Yeah, so you could get that. And so the Sirius XM application is free, but if you want to listen to anything, you have to pay a subscription fee. So you could do that. Now, if you are going to... if you're going to use the Sirius XM application, you do need an iPad or an iPod. Now, since you don't want to use the phone at all, there's no point to getting an iPhone. So you could get an iPod, which would just simply, you could download the application and you could play it on the iPod and you could carry it around with you. But you'd have to be in the house where you had Wi-Fi connection because you don't have any other any other way to get the signal, internet connection, unless you're near Wi-Fi. Now, if you get the iPad, the Wi-Fi version of the iPad, which would be $425 or so, then you could play games while you listen to XM radio. So instead of just sitting there with the iPod, so. Or you could check your emails. Well, you could check your emails.
You could do a lot of things.
You could do a lot of things. You could actually check your email on the iPod through the Wi-Fi connection. So,
thereby eating up bandwidth that other AT&T users like me, then can't use.
But no, they're not using AT&T bandwidth because it's going through Wi-Fi.
Oh, Wi-Fi, right?
It's going through Wi-Fi, and so you don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that you emailed before you went out and bought an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod just for an application that no longer exists.
I recall Bridget emailing us with this quandary previously because
I know
she's had this issue for a while.
She's been trying to figure this out for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't really tell me if she has internet access at home because this whole strategy won't work if there's no internet access. So
Right.
I'm assuming she's got internet at home.
Mm-hmm.
But if she doesn't have internet at home, she could go to a place that has free Wi-Fi, like McDonald's or Starbucks.
Move into Starbucks, exactly.
And you can move into Starbucks, and you could listen to business radio there. We got an email from Minda and Marshall Barrett. Dear Tech Talk, you were just speaking about RIM and the BlackBerry falling behind the iPhone due to user usability. You mentioned some of the security features the iPhone had to match the some of the security features of iPhone were beginning to match the BlackBerry. Recently, there was some news about some Middle Eastern countries banning the use of BlackBerries because they were so strongly encrypted and sent their data off to offshore servers. These countries recommend that users use the iPhone instead of the BlackBerry, presumably due to its security not being as strong. To me, from this and other stories, it seems like the iPhone still has a way to go in order to match the security of the BlackBerry. Thank you for discussing this on the show. Well, last week I did talk about the potential demise of BlackBerry because they hadn't really met the iPhone challenge or the smartphone challenge. And many of the features of ActiveSync, the iPhone uses Microsoft's ActiveSync to connect with Exchange servers, and many of the ActiveSync features, like if you lose it, you can automatically erase it.
Right.
They were meeting many of the requirements of IT departments, which was very good. Now, the security is actually a very good point. It turns out that ActiveSync, which is a Microsoft technology, which they've licensed to Apple, they've also licensed this to Google for use on the Android, uses Secure Socket Layer. You know, that's at HTTPS,
mm-hmm.
whereas the BlackBerry Enterprise server uses Triple DES. Triple DES is a more secure form of encryption and much more difficult to crack. So I do think that is probably true. These countries that want to eavesdrop on your emails probably can crack secure socket layer protocols, even if it's 32-bit, more easily than they can crack the BlackBerry Enterprise server, Triple DES. So that was a good point. So I think many of the security features are there, but I think the BlackBerry server is still more secure against serious security hacking attempts. Email from Margaret. Dear Dr. Schertz, I'm a baby boomer who spends way too much time on the computer. Computer-aholic. Uh-huh. I love music, but I don't want to evolve. I do not want to evolve into digital iTunes because of the additional computer time needed for me to do so. I'm in a quandary. I own several boomboxes, and they all have lost their capacity to play CDs. These must really be old. I'm trying to find a repair place which is competent, and that is very hard, probably because all of these parts, there's no longer spare parts available. Can you make a recommendation on the best hardware for me to buy, perhaps a hybrid solution where I can still play CDs and then bite the bullet and start moving to iTunes, which seems to be the inevitable place that I'll have to go? Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that? Thanks very much, Margaret in Maryland. Well, Margaret, I'll tell you what I've done over the years. The one problem with the boombox, you can only play one CD at a time, and then you've got to go in and change the CD. So you're actually... It's not like you can have a playlist that spans 20 or 30 or 50 CDs. You just play one CD at a time. What I ended up doing about 8 years ago, I bought a CD carousel. I put around 50 CDs on my stereo system, and it would like, and I could do, and I could randomly play songs from those 50 CDs that were in the carousel. But then, ultimately, I also succumbed to MP3s in digital formats. And it's very easy to do this. And so you basically have to rip the music off your CDs. And let me give you what the final hardware solution will be. I recommend that you get an iPod, and you get one of these iPod docks that has speakers, and that'll be like a boombox. It'll be like an iPod boombox. And then you can put a playlist. So you can put every song that you own on that iPod, stick it in that iPod dock, and you can just listen to music and carry that little iPod audio dock around it in any room in the house. And that would be really your boombox solution. And you'll never have to touch a CD. Now, you can, when you rip your CDs, you actually, if you're going to use the iPod, then you're going to want to use Apple iTunes. And so what you do is you just download Apple iTunes to your computer. You're only going to use your computer once when you do this ripping. You basically will download iTunes, put it on your computer. You buy an iPod, plug the then what you'll do, first of all, we got to get the music onto your hard drive. So you put a CD, open up iTunes, put a CD in the CD drive, and iTunes will automatically ask you, do you want to rip this CD and store it in an MP3 format? And you say yes, and it will just store all the music files automatically for you in the iTunes folder. When it's done, you put in the next CD, and you go through until you have all your CDs done. And then what you do, you take your iPod, and you simply plug it into the USB port of the computer, and you attach your iPod. It'll say, do you want to attach this device to this iTunes account? And you say yes. And then you say, I want to synchronize all the music, and it will copy all of those songs to the iPod. And then you take that iPod and pop it in that audio dock, and you've got your boombox with all your songs. And then you can have a playlist with you. Now, the other nice thing is that the iPod also has Wi-Fi. So you can, if your car has audio Wi-Fi, you could carry it into your car and connect it through audio Wi-Fi, and then you could play your iPod through your car speakers. And so I really think it's time to retire the boombox. I wouldn't recommend getting a boombox replacement. Uh-huh. And I think you should just spend your money on an iPod and an audio dock for an iPod. It's a nice solution. It's not that expensive.
No.
And the older iPods are dirt cheap. I mean, you don't have to get like a huge memory. It depends how many songs you have, but you know, the older iPods are not really that expensive, and the iPod docks are coming down in price. You could probably get a nice solution for $200, $250, or something like that.
Well, yeah, you know, I am anti-i most everything, mm-hmm. except that my daughter has an iPad, and uh-huh. I've gotten addicted to playing solitaire on that. And back at the beginning of the spring, I broke down and bought an iPod.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think this is $150. But it'll store a lot of music, more than I'll ever probably put on it. But my concern was that I had stuff on other media that I was afraid at some point is going to go away because mm-hmm. I can't find a place to play it.
Yeah.
So this is a good way to store it digitally, and it's really portable. And you don't even have to have an iPod dock. You can plug these things into just about anything if you've got a mini-to-mini connection.
Yeah, if you've got a mini connection, you can plug them into anything. Yeah. That's right.
So you really don't even need a dock. If you've got a nice sound system that you want to plug this into, you can just do it that way. So.
I was making it feel like boombox-like.
Yeah, I understand. I get it.
Well, that was really a great question. And I've sort of... No, the other thing is when you rip these songs, you can either... rip them in a format which compresses them, mm-hmm. which means you lose some quality. So if you play them back on say a very, very high quality stereo system, you will hear a difference. Even if you rip them say at 128 kilobits per second, you'll hear a difference when you compare it to the actual CD.
Yeah.
Even at 256 kilobit per second, you'll hear a difference. But you can save it in a uncompressed format so that nothing is called a lossless format, and it's the Apple lossless format. So if you believe you're going to be playing these on a very high quality audio system, when you select the options of how you're going to rip the songs, you could rip them into Apple lossless, but that means that you will have larger files, and so you just want to do a little calculation to make certain that your iPod is big enough.
That's true. It will eat up more space. What are the names of some of the programs that you can use to rip the? Well, you mentioned Apple iTunes.
Apple iTunes, or you can use Windows Media Player.
Isn't there something else out there that lets you do it at CD quality? I keep forgetting what the name of that program is. Well,
there are a number of open source programs mm-hmm. that I use. I mean,
right. That's what I was thinking about.
If you just want to be convenient, you can use, you know, Windows Media Player, and you can always choose to be lossless in the Windows Media Player. You can always choose 256. You can choose the degree of quality you want mm-hmm. depending on how big the files are and on all of them. But Microsoft has a lossless format, which is not an open source lossless format. And Apple's has a lossless format, and there's an open source lossless format too, which is escaping me now. But more than likely, if you're just going to have the Boombox application, just rip it in sort of the default, which is going to be 128 kilobits per second, and that'll be good enough.
Gotcha. Well, that was great. Thanks for your letters, Doc. Since we love letters.
Yes.
Tell folks how to send them to us.
Okay, if you want to get send a letter to Tech Talk, that would be techtalk@stratford.edu, and those emails will be sent directly to us, and we'll answer them on the next radio show.
You are listening to your Classroom of the Airwaves.
Very good.
I got it right.
Very good.
Tech Talk Radio, which is heard from Richmond to Central Pennsylvania, from the Shenandoah Valley in Western Maryland over to the Eastern Shore and Virginia's Northern Neck on these fine radio stations, 1500 AM and 820 AM. 103.5 FM HD2 and 107.7 FM HD2. Tech Talk continues right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to be talking about Sihat Sitarja. You familiar with him, Jim?
No.
Sihat Sitarja.
I'm not, unfortunately. I hate to tell you that.
Sihat Sitarja is co-founder and CEO of the Marvel Technology Group. Now, this is not Marvel Comics. Marvel Technology Group, they make chips. And these chips, these are integrated circuit chips, and they power a wide range of electronic communications and digital devices. And they're commonplace in gadgets such as the BlackBerry smartphone. They're in Nikon cameras. They're in the Sony PlayStation. They're in all. Their chips are in almost every hard drive that's manufactured, and many of the gigabit Ethernet connections that are on computers. Sihat Sitarja was born in 1961 in Jakarta, Indonesia. Sihat is of Chinese ancestry, and he's part of a wealthy family that owned a Mercedes parts business. When Sihat was 12, he taught himself analog signal processing by taking apart his family's Philips 6 transistor radio and rebuilding it in one component at a time.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah. Sihat obtained a Bachelor's of Science in Electrical Engineering from Iowa State University in 3 years. He completed his MS and PhD in Electrical Engineering and Computer Science from U.S. Berkeley in 1988, along with his brother Pantus.
Pantus Largus?
Yeah, Pantus. Now,
that's a Latin name.
Sihat went to work for a new analog chip firm when he got his PhD. In 1995, they co-founded with his wife and his brother Marvel Technology with money from family and friends and $200,000 from licensing a one-circuit design. They worked for almost 2 years without pay until they could raise $1 million in VC funding. They planned to design what they wanted to do with their VC funding. They wanted to design a fast analog chip, but they needed a market. So they picked disk drives as a way to do that. Now, you know, a disk drive, that's what's on every computer. And there were no they liked this for two reasons. First of all, there are no standards bodies which were dominated by big companies. And secondly, there were hundreds of millions of disk drives sold every year. So in 1998, Marvell, his wife, went to Seagate and marketed Seagate, and they said, look, we can make a faster disk drive chip than you're getting from TI. So they got a small developmental contract, and they spent a year on it, and they designed a disk drive chip that was 20% faster than the TI chip. And because of that, they ended up winning all of the Seagate business. Then they went to the other chip manufacturers, and now they've got 90% of the disk drive market, and there's a Marvell disk drive chip in each one of those hard drives. Then in the year 2000, just around the time of the dot-com crash, they had their IPO. That's a tough time for an IPO, but they were successful because they were moving into gigabit Ethernet. What they decided to do right after the IPO, and this is what they disclosed in the IPO, they were going to go after gigabit Ethernet, and they designed an Ethernet chip that was 10 times faster than the current technology, and they sold it to Cisco, and they basically cut Broadcom out of the business, and they dominated the gigabit Ethernet market. Then in 2005, they got into the Wi-Fi chip market, and they produced another chip that was smaller, faster, and had half the power than the other ones, and they basically kicked out a number of other manufacturers. Now their chips are in Sony's, they're in PlayStation's, they're in Nikon Coolpix, they're all over the place. In 2006, this small company bought the mobile phone chip business from Intel. Intel had this chip business. They never made money on it. They paid $600 million in cash because they wanted to go after the cell phone business. And they successfully did that. Their motto is, wait for the market to get big enough and then kill who's ever there. They've grown every quarter since the IPO in 2000. Shares are up fivefold. Sihat has gotten more than 150 patents. He was recognized as the inventor of the year. And he and his wife, Di, run the company as an obsession. They never take any vacations. They never have any hobbies. They do have two sons who, I'm told, have learned how to cook themselves cook all their meals. Cook all their meals themselves. Now, the reason I featured him, this guy came from Taiwan, Jakarta, Indonesia. He got his degree here, got his PhD. He was able to work here on an H-1B, then a green card. He became a citizen ultimately, and he started a company. So this is exactly the kind of innovation that we need from folks that come here to get educated. So we don't want our visa policy to drive these folks away because it hurts innovation. So there's everything you'd ever want to know about C. Hot Sitarja.
Excellent.
Founder and CEO of Marvel Technology Group.
We're about to tread in interesting water here.
The party don't start till I walk in.
Hi, folks. This is David Byrd.
Don't stop. Make it pop.
You've never heard that before, huh?
No, never heard that before in my life. You know, when your wife is named Di, you do what she tells you to do.
That's right. Exactly. Do it or die.
Do it for die.
Exactly. I noticed you weren't here last week, were you, Doc?
He was here. You weren't here.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, you weren't here.
Somebody wasn't here.
That's a very nice haircut you got.
Well, there. Thank you. I fell asleep in the chair.
I guess you did.
I fell asleep in the chair, and they said you want it any shorter, and I nodded. Yeah. So they said.
Take it off.
Any shorter, and they put numbers on your shirts. Wow, man, that's some short looking. Listen, I came down. I hate to interrupt the show because you're on such a roll. And
shut up.
Such a roll. Anyway,
I
always come down for knowledge.
Yeah, I know that.
I noticed that the doc
free knowledge
has his free iPad 2 at the ready over here.
I'm ready to go.
Do you actually consult that thing, or is that just for looks?
Oh no, I consult it whenever I've got critical activities.
He wears clothes to match the iPad
yes,
cover.
That's right.
Well, actually, if he
that's
had right. covers that matched his clothes, that'd be more frightening.
That would be nice. Yeah. Okay, Doc. On a serious note here, because I know we're eating up time here.
Okay.
Listen. I'm preparing to write a book. This is not a joke. I said it wasn't a joke.
You sure?
I'll laugh, not you.
But coloring book?
Can you recommend one of those software programs where you can speak and it just prints it out for you?
Yeah, there are
you
some.
Just dictate.
Yeah, Dragon is a pretty good one.
Dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
that's a pretty. That was actually an IBM product that they. That they did a spin out. I have not reviewed those for a couple of years.
Really? Well, I could check them
because this, I'll tell you, this, voice recognition has really made great headway in the last couple of years. And so Dragon Speaks was actually, when I reviewed it a couple of years ago, was one of the top ones. But actually, technology's changed so dramatically that I should probably go back and revisit that.
I think you should, sir. Actually, sir.
I should check on. Oh, I said. So you don't want to write a book? You want to speak a book?
You want to speak
a
book? It's gonna be books on tape by David Byrd.
You know, because that way I can get all the that kind of stuff.
That would be the.
Here I am with a genuine request, and you guys are kind of like giving me the beatdown.
Well, I gotta say this. I gotta ask you this.
Yeah.
What? Pray tell, will this book be about?
It will be. I don't want to give it away because somebody will rip me off. Somebody will rip me off, Jimbo.
Oh,
you know that.
Boy.
Come on.
David Byrd's Life and Radio?
No,
your memoirs?
No, that's a short book, buddy. That's a real short
book.
It's
a pamphlet.
I need more than 50 pages.
See, on the speaking software, the thing that makes it complicated sometimes are the commands, like if you want to write or print or you want to change the font. And so if you switch from the dictation mode to the command mode,
some
of them are some more complicated to do that.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm going to check.
Will you commit to me?
I'll do some research on the voice. On the voice recognition software.
Stay behind the velvet rope, Jimbo.
I have
your microphone button.
So this is like an email. This is like a Tech Talk email that's delivered in person.
Delivering in person.
Because he's too lazy to actually type it to you. So he comes down.
I'm on the third floor. I can just come on down and say, how you doing?
Maybe
he'll send an email if he can just speak it instead of type it.
Right, exactly.
Send this to the doc.
Right.
Note to self.
No, but if you're doing this dictation, do you have to do the punctuation with it?
Yeah, you say comma.
Okay, comma.
Period. Comma, yeah, you
period.
Do that.
Quotation.
Yeah.
Period.
But the thing that makes a lot of this software really effective for figuring out what you're saying is that you put it on the same computer where you've written a lot of documents.
Right.
And then it scans all your documents and makes a dictionary of words that you typically use. So when it's in doubt, it starts with your particular selection.
So gnarly is going to come up a few times.
Yeah, and so these things become quite good, and then over time you train them. So like if you get the wrong word, you say it's the wrong word, and you can correct it.
Oh.
And over so it's self-correcting, and so once you've used it a while, they get better and better and better.
Has Mrs. Wonderful won anything new that we don't know about?
She hasn't won anything in the last week or two. I'm waiting for her to win an iPhone for me.
Here we go. She did win something. She wouldn't know about it because she'll never see it again.
Yeah, because Mr. Wonderful
takes it.
Uh-huh. That's right. I do all my research on this. I've got it always there with me to do.
Would you share with the audience just quickly before I leave here? What a guy with a PhD and a well-renowned world traveler. What are you doing this afternoon after the show?
I don't really have any big plans.
What does that mean?
You want to come over for a swim?
Yep. So is it adult swim time? That's all you got to do.
We have company from out of town. We have 18 people staying at our house this weekend.
What? Oh my goodness!
You should have brought them this morning.
We could have filled the whole studio. Nah.
So I think the doc's going to be using the online meat grilling thermometer thing that we talked about a couple years ago.
So he's going to be making meat grilling thermometer.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know what that is.
You can put the steaks on the grill at different times that all come off at the same time in the varying degrees.
Because somebody wants medium rare, somebody wants well.
Somebody
done,
wants it walking.
So you figure out the whole timeline of your cooking. Yeah, I'm not really using that. People get it one way.
Yeah, that's
every,
right.
I serve the meat. No, yeah. I serve all the meat the way I like it.
Yeah, your way.
How do you want that done?
Your way.
That's his restaurant is called What We're Having.
Exactly. Hey, listen, gentlemen, thank you so much.
And hey, David.
How long do you need to research? 2 weeks?
Just a week. A week.
So I can come back next week.
You come back next week. I'll have it. I'll have it. Oh, yeah.
I love that, Doc.
Well, I'll have it.
What I take from this is that you're going to write a book, but you're too lazy to actually write it.
No, I'm not. Thank you so much.
Aren't you glad you stopped by?
Can I be excused?
Yes, you can.
Do you have your hall pass?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Bye. David Byrd, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping by. This is Tech Talk and the David Byrd Show. Actually, you know what? You are host emeritus of Tech Talk. Because this is, after all, a classroom of the airwaves.
Yes.
David, some of you don't know, David hosted the show some time ago. You're listening to Tech Talk on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2, 103.5 FM, HD2. We will be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now, It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
This is a classroom of the airwaves.
Yes, although we cheese it up from time to time.
Yes. Now, if you remember, earlier in the show, I was talking about Sehat Sudarja. He, of course, started Marvell Technology Group. Oh, I've got even a better idea for the question.
Okay.
They actually are a chip manufacturer, and it's actually a fabulous chip manufacturer, which means that they actually don't have production plant. They don't have a silicon foundry. They have all their chips manufactured in Taiwan.
Okay.
They simply design them.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, their strategy is to basically go into high volume markets, and they first were in disk design, then they went into Ethernet design, then they went into Wi-Fi chip design, then they went into cell phones. And what is their unofficial motto?
I know what that is.
Okay. What is their unofficial motto?
I know. I have to give this to Andrew because this is a game time substitution.
It is a game time substitution, mm-hmm. which seems like a more interesting question.
I think, yes, I agree with you. And it's a real test.
So if
you
get the correct answer to that question, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at the Escoffier Dining Room. And I found out that all of the dining rooms operate on Thursday night.
Ah, okay.
So it's both in Falls Church as well as Woodbridge. Yeah,
Friday,
so it's always Thursday night. So,
waiting for food.
Yeah, so people are there. They gave my culinary department gave me a little note. They said, please, please don't tell people to come on Friday night. It's actually on Thursday night at Falls Church. I said, okay. So I'll make that small correction.
Okay. The question, once again, is the unofficial motto of Marvell Technology Group.
That's right.
The answer to that question, call us now at 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. Or by Skype.
That's right. You can go to Tech Talk Radio 1, and you go to that contact, and make that contact, and you can give us a call, and that call will be forwarded directly to the studio, and you can talk to us free of charge from anywhere in the world via Skype. Well, this was the week of the last shuttle launch. Atlantis blasted off yesterday from the Kennedy Space Center yesterday afternoon, and that was the STS-135 mission. And they were heading off for the International Space Station. And this was for one final delivery of spare parts to the ISS. Now, the mission will also fly another mission called the Robotic Refueling Mission. That's an experiment designed to test the tools and technologies and techniques needed to robotically refuel satellites in space, even when the satellites are not designed to be serviced. Now, the crew will also return an ammonia pump that recently failed on the International Space Station. Once Atlantis returns, the U.S. is going to have to rely on the Russians to go to the International Space Station using the Soyuz vehicle. Even though we paid for almost all of the International Space Station, we don't have any way to get to it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the NASA is waiting for the private sector to actually deliver on transportation to space. And they're one of the main companies which has a shot at this is SpaceX. So they're hoping that SpaceX will be able to give a contract to SpaceX for launches to the International Space Station going forward. So this whole privatization of space, people are skeptical about it. There is a certain logic to it in that, the private sector, if there is sufficient market, can always survive. Now the question is there sufficient market for space to support a private company? And only the future will tell on that. Now, people are worried that NASA is going to lose the edge on manned space flight. It is clear, though, on unmanned space flight, we are unsurpassed. Our unmanned missions, we have them all over the solar system and beyond, and we're very strong in that. And that program will continue, but I kind of will miss the shuttle because I always enjoyed watching that taking off.
Well, so far you seem to be stumping people. Why don't you ask the question one more time?
Okay. The earlier in the show, we talked about Sehart Sutardja. He was, of course, co-founder of the CEO of Marvel Technology. And the they had an unofficial, an unofficial saying, which was the unofficial motto, which was relating to the fact that sort of their marketing strategy mm-hmm. when they get into a new product line, how they do it and what they want to do.
Sort of the, it was on the theme of take no prisoners. If
yeah,
I could give
something,
just a little hint.
Something like that.
Yeah, so that if you know the answer, we need you to call right now. 877-936-9333, 877-936-9333. What else you got?
Let's look at some of the fastest growing, let's look at Facebook versus Google again. This is okay. People have really looked at this. Web traffic is really growing dramatically, and it's driven increasingly by mobile connections to the internet. I've got a mobile internet connection on my phone. All the smartphones have it. And it turns out that Facebook is gaining disproportionately in traffic compared to its peers. Facebook is the first website to top 1 trillion page views per month.
Wow.
Now, Facebook's current valuation is $75 billion. But many people think it's too low. Some think the company could be worth as much as $1 trillion. Now, I really question that. Google's is currently valued at $175 billion. Now, Facebook's own ad revenues don't really approach Google's yet, but its potential is much bigger. You see, Facebook is really not an algorithm. It's social. It's social networking, and it's the basis for all human connections. And Facebook owns social networking. And now the beauty of Facebook is they've managed to do this thing with essentially an open source platform. Facebook, has an open source and platform. They allow many companies to write applications that hook into their platform. And that, of course, that only brings in more users and makes the experience a richer experience for the users. And so this open platform strategy has been very successful to help them grow. And so where their real value is that they own the user data. And the user data is what is really of value. Facebook currently has 750 million users. Now, Facebook really hasn't tried to be all things to all people. It's actually focused on just building a solid, open platform that delivers the features that developers want. Now, Microsoft did this with Windows. Windows became a platform for applications. Amazon did this in e-commerce, and many stores could use the Amazon back end. And so Amazon became a platform for resellers. Google became a platform for search, and a lot of the application you can tie to that. And so this whole concept of a platform is really the way to build a company. And Facebook has done this very well, and people believe that going forward, Facebook is going to grow at a much faster rate than Google.
Okay. We actually have a contestant on the line,
okay.
So we're going to go to, I don't know what line this is, doesn't matter. Frank, you're calling from Annandale, Virginia. Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Doc, go ahead and ask the question,
earlier
please.
In the show, I was talking about Sehart Sutardja, and he, of course, co-founder of Marvel Technology. What is their unofficial motto?
Wait for a market to get large enough and then move in and destroy the competition.
That is close enough.
Close enough.
Very good.
Does he get just a salad or does
he
get the
whole? No, he gets the whole thing. That was very good. Great job.
Frank, thank you for calling and thanks for playing the game today. And we're going to put you back on hold. So Andrew will get your information and you'll be able to get your free food. Thursdays.
On Thursday.
At the Escoffier.
That's right.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We are on the air, your classroom on the air, on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. Stand by. More tech news coming up.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tysons Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. Let's talk about the fastest growing tech jobs for 2011. Now, according to a recent Monster.com report, IT jobs are on the rise. In the U.S., the IT market growth is forecast at 8% this year and a 10.3% increase next year. Now, here's some of the top jobs. Network administration. 65% of the CIOs say that the networking professionals top their most wanted employees list. To excel in this field, you've got to be comfortable interacting with a wide range of technologies, from servers, routers, and wiring to network management, security, and various OS software packages that will be integrated into your LAN. Also, you've got to be able to deal with server virtualization. You must understand the current infrastructure and then develop and work with a virtual version while maintaining stability and efficiency. This is all the kind of work that the kind of topics that we teach in our undergraduate IT program. Database management is a top area. The current average yearly salaries for IT professionals involved in database management are high, ranging from $80K to $100K. Now, that's because, you know, companies need databases in order for all of their information systems, and you've got to manage them, organize the data. Salaries for these salaries are high for these workers if they're familiar with products such as Informatica, ETL, which is Extract, Transform, and Load. It's a way to manipulate the data, and data warehousing, according to eWeek. A third area of IT job growth is in desktop support. The Computer World survey found that technical support skills are extremely important for 42% of potential employers. When users are frustrated with the technology, they either refuse to make use of it or they don't use the software correctly. Both options cost the company time and money, so you need people who can deal with the user and treat the user with respect.
Mm-hmm.
So we've found that people that like to teach as well as understand the technology are very good in these kind of support jobs. Mobile application development is an area of growth. More and more small to medium-sized companies are wanting a smartphone presence, and the challenge, there aren't enough application developers with the skills needed to make those mobile applications a reality. Now, the nice thing is that, say, Apple has created a lot of developer tools so that you can actually make mobile apps for the iPhone very, very conveniently. Then, of course, we have the security professionals. That is a very big thing. Security turns out to be a very big item. And IT security experts haven't suffered any sort of industry instability or loss throughout the last few recessions. In other words, there's a dip in employment in IT. There's never a dip in security jobs because you just can't give up on your security. Otherwise, you lose it all. Now, the skills that you should have include a general understanding of IT security and then a more in-depth expertise of firewalls, VPNs, as well as mobile security, as well as, you know, all of the authentication methods like Active Directory. Cloud computing is a very big area. See, everybody's moving their data centers, yeah, outsourcing their data centers to the cloud. The number of cloud-related tech jobs has doubled over the last year. Microsoft, Amazon, Google are all making major bets on the future of cloud computing. and both businesses and consumers are signing on. But as these offerings continue to grow, there will be need for appliances and management tools that allow users to easily and securely migrate work to the cloud environment. So if you're in the tech field, any of these areas are pretty good for you. Cloud computing, security professional, mobile application development, desktop support, database management, network administration are all very good areas to aim for. Now, the key is, though, you've got to be willing to adapt and transform your skills as needed. You see, technology doesn't really change. I mean, what was needed 5 years ago isn't going to be needed in the future. So you have to learn to be a continuous learner. You've got to continue to learn. Look at the standards. Look at the evolution of the field. Continue to learn new things, because the motto in technology is, and this motto has been around for quite a while, evolve or evaporate.
It's an ultimatum.
It's an ultimatum. So you've really got to keep track of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is pretty much all you wanted to know about the current IT job market. Now, many of these things, Stratford actually has programs in database management, network administration, desktop support. Mobile app development is part of our software engineering program. Of course, we embed security throughout. Virtualization and cloud computing is sort of in all of our graduate and undergraduate programs. So we could actually, if you wanted to get into any of those areas, we could certainly help you do it at Stratford University, or any other school could do that.
There you go. Let's take a break.
Okay.
Based on the time here. And this is Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We will be back with more right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
Demand is great for IT professionals that can gain a security clearance. According to a recent Federal Computer Week article, federal agencies and private sector businesses that support government contracts can't get enough credentialed people to keep pace with government work. Tremendous opportunities exist for mid-career and late-career workers if they're trained, particularly if they have had previous military service. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares students to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. You remember the Android operating system that was released by Google?
Yeah.
They basically set the world on fire when they released this operating system, because they basically released it without any licensing fees at all. They wrote the application, they released it to all of the handset developers, and they said, look, just use it. We'll keep evolving, developing it, and we're not going to charge you a penny. So that was really embraced by the handset developers, because they hated to pay licensing fees of tens of dollars for every single handset that they were sold, because the operating margins are so thin on these handsets. And Android is now being offered by multiple vendors across the board. It's really growing faster than even the iPhone, because so many hardware manufacturers are making it. But there's a fly in the ointment. It turns out that Microsoft claims that Google has infringed on some of their software patents. Oracle has claimed that they have infringed on some of their Java patents, because there was Java embedded in it. So Microsoft has gone out to some of the vendors, and they've filed a lawsuit against Google, and they're now charging the system $5 a handset, and some of the vendors have already agreed to do that. So Microsoft is hoping to make money on the Google Android system.
Pretty funny.
Now, Oracle has also sued Google for $2.6 billion, and Google hopes to get $15 to $20 a handset. So you add that up, you're talking about $25 a handset for licensing fees. So maybe Android really won't be free. So these lawsuits have not really made their way through court, but some people think that they may have some legitimate claims here, so these licensing fees may stick. Now, this may open the doors for a mobile operating system that does cost money, the Windows 7 mobile operating system. So Microsoft would just love to see the Android licensing fees go through the roof, so they could charge for their Windows 7 operating system and actually get some headway there. Let's talk about distributed computing for the masses.
All right.
See, distributed computing is a method where you can take a very complicated project, then you can divide it up among multiple computers, and they all work in parallel. It's a form of sort of parallel processing. And then after they do each of their piece of the calculation, you bring the results back together. And if you can get enough computers working in parallel, you can basically create a network of computers that rivals supercomputers in their processing capacity. Now, several organizations have developed such distributed network, or I'll call them virtual supercomputers, by getting volunteers to donate their PC's processing power. See, it's very easy to, if you've got a computer at home and it's just sitting there on, why not let somebody use your computer to process some particular problem that's very important or has some value to humanity?
Well, is there any danger to you and your computer by letting somebody do this?
No, not if you use the application that I'm going to be talking about. It's also called grid computing. Mm-hmm. So there are a few projects. They have the folding at home project, which is actually used to calculate protein folding. They're trying to do calculations on proteins and, you know, this is basically this is sort of DNA calculations to try to solve medical problems. And so that one is folding.stanford.edu. That's actually a Stanford project. And so folding at home you could contribute to. And what you actually do is you download a screensaver from folding.stanford.edu. And whenever your screensaver is on, it basically starts doing calculations for folding at home. And it periodically, and it downloads the problem and it uploads the results periodically. There's also Einstein at Home, which does various Einstein at Home is actually a project at the University of Wisconsin and the Albert Einstein Institute, and they want to study gravitational waves. So they're doing gravitational wave calculations. That's Einstein at Home. You can go to Einstein.phys, it's for physics, .uwm.edu. I'll have all these on the website.
Right.
Then, of course, if you want to look for life in outer space, there's, of course, the SETI. The SETI at home, that's the most well-known of the projects. It was set up by University of Berkeley researchers in 1999. They were trying to analyze radio signals which indicate intelligent life outside of the Earth. They haven't found anything yet. They've been cranking away since 99.
There's very little of that here.
Yeah, that's setiathome.berkeley.edu. And then, or you could be part of the World Computing Grid, World Community Grid run by IBM. Now, that's the worldcommunitygrid.org. And they actually have about 350,000 PCs have been donated to that one. And they actually work on all kinds of projects which to solve the worldwide problems. The IBM Grid selects researchers to solve some of the world's most challenging problems. There are currently 8 projects they're working on dealing with AIDS, childhood cancers, muscular dystrophy, as well as other investigations in clean water and solar cell energy, various things like that. So it's actually quite good. So anyway, you can go to any of those websites and download a screensaver. I think it's almost time.
It is almost that time.
Yeah, we love your emails, techtalk@stratford.edu, and go to techtalkonline.com and download the podcast.
This show rebroadcast today at 5 o'clock.
Show may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
Nats baseball on the air at 6:30 tonight. Nats against the Rocks at Nationals Park. It's going to be mostly sunny today. Cooler, drier. Right now, 79 at 9 a.m., 10 a.m.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio.